Maybe the forest fire is all the conspiracy.
Yeah.
Nice picture for the Swiss.
Yeah.
Well.
Hello and welcome to Poorly Informed. I'm Theo. Max, Will and Peter are also here. But this week, I'm not hosting. No one's hosting. We're doing a special New Year's episode. And what is more New Year podcasty than to do an episode about what we're interested in, what we're thinking about, what we're looking at in 2019. So, might as well go around, so have a discussion. What sort of topics and events have caught our eye and that we might be concerned about, that we might be focusing on throughout the coming 365 days.
Can I start?
Yeah, go on, Peter.
Starting with the most important thing, February the 7th. Does anyone know what happens on February the 7th?
Mock exams?
No. Wait, does it?
I think it's around.
Yeah, it's February something.
Oh,
February 25th.
After, it's like, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Any other guesses?
No.
February 7th?
Not really.
Marble Olympics or something?
No.
Something to do with Reddit?
Lego Movie 2, the second part, comes out. Pinnacle of the year. It's going to be in month 2. There you go. Anything you want to add to that? What, Lego
well,
movie?
We might as well go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Pete's lads, that's it.
No, so, great, Lego Movie 2 is coming out. Who wants to be the first to bring up, what is it, the 29th of March? Which may or may not be Brexit Day.
I think you do.
Yeah.
I think
like
I
you
do. Yeah.
The massive elephant in the room.
Yes. There is actually an elephant in the room. That's quite impressive. Actually, I've forgotten the date, which is really bad because I meant to know this. But we have Brexit Day coming up, and Parliament has just gone into recess as we record. Theresa May postponed the debate. Corbyn's called her a stupid woman. It's all getting very exciting, but also quite wearying. And frankly, none of us know what will happen.
I mean, I don't know why they have 3 weeks off at this period of time, which is probably the most important. You know, the time where we kind of need Parliament to be
in session. It's the most important political moment since probably before the Second World War, since maybe the gold standard and the declaring of war in the 1930s.
Can we make predictions on what we think is going to happen?
I mean, there's no reason why not.
I think so. And you've got to give percentages. You can't just say vague things.
My prediction is obviously May's deal won't get through. There's 0% chance. Not going to be able to negotiate and get a better deal. 0% chance of that. She's stuck with the deal we have. And that's going to be put to a meaningful vote and it'll be shot down by everyone except like four people who weren't really paying attention. Or like four people who May was going to give knighthoods to or something. So, after that massive debacle, enough Brexit or enough Conservative ministers will come out in favour of a second referendum. I'm saying 60% chance of a second referendum, which if a second referendum happens, saying there's an 80% chance the people vote.
You think there's going to be a vote that leads to another vote which leads to the end of Brexit?
No. So, second referendum on whether we accept the deal, we leave without a deal, or we go.
But there's a lot of legal concerns over what do you put on the ballot paper, because you have to make sure it's not a leading question, but you also have to put options on the table that are valid, so you can't say, you cannot really put on the ballot, cancel Brexit?
We can't have no deal because every party unanimously said that no deal wouldn't happen.
Apart from a few idiot Tories.
Okay, but every the main
every
the
sane
official party,
every sane member
the
of parliament.
The official party line
yeah.
for every party was there will be no deal at any cost. So no one voted for no deal in the original thing. So have a new one. It says there's an 80% chance. If we have a vote, we will remain within the EU. So I'm saying that in total it is 45% chance we're going to stay in the EU. Is my
but Theresa May's fairly clever in that she delayed the vote because she thinks she wants to force the hand of the Remainers and give so little time for a referendum, or it's looking less likely now, new general election, that we will have to go into this frankly very mediocre withdrawal agreement we've got and then negotiate one of the biggest trade deals of all time in 2 years.
Yes, and it also, well, it's kind of the thing of, she said it up quite nicely, that if nothing happens, which due to the parliamentary gridlock is looking quite likely, because nothing will get through, because there is no majority for really any of the options, which means we'll just kind of fall off the cliff into a no-deal Brexit almost by accident, just because we've locked ourselves into this path. and are unable to change at all. So I think it's quite likely, actually, that we end up with a no deal in this situation.
I think no deal is quite unlikely. I'm saying 30% chance of no deal.
No, I think Will's right. I think no deal's looking almost as half likely as the other options now.
I think no deal is the default option.
Give a percentage.
At the
yeah. What percentage are people saying?
No one wants a no deal, but when has what people wanted ever gone in the way of parliamentary
decision? What's the chance of a no deal, do you think?
40%.
50%.
Max?
35%.
You've not been paying attention to anything, have
no,
you?
No, I was. I've been researching my later argument / points.
Which is?
Oh, just the whole Russia-Ukraine potential escalation situation.
So let's move on to something a bit more cheerful. So Max, what are you looking forward to this year?
I'm looking forward to potentially World War III. No, I don't think it would go that bad. So this whole thing between Russia and Ukraine, obviously, since Russia annexed part of Ukraine in 2014, was it?
Yeah.
They don't like each other. I mean, they haven't liked each other for quite a while. And then recently, when was it? The whole November, 25th of November. With the boats in what sea is it? The Crimean
Sea of Azov.
Sea of Azov. That's the one.
Know this, Max.
Should have done your research.
I got so rudely interrupted. Yeah. So what's going to happen with that? Is it going to escalate any further? Because with all discussion of Brexit, haven't really heard anything about that in the news recently. It's past, you know.
Yeah. I think you're right. A lot of people's attention is being sapped by Brexit.
By Brexit and everything. Yeah. So what's I don't know. I'm trying. Think what's going to happen in the future. Will Russia escalate? Because what can Ukraine really do about it? And then what are we going to do? Is there going to be World War III? Hopefully not, because I don't want to get drafted.
No, me neither. I think it's unlikely that it'll escalate much further simply because I think from the Russian side, they're going to keep pushing their advantage until they're sort of told to stop. And no one's really going to tell them to stop properly, because I don't think the EU will act quite as decisively as maybe some people think it should, sort of a bastion of democracy against Russia. But so I think it's quite likely that Russia just sort of quietly continues swallowing up bits of Ukraine and influencing elections, and no one really does all that much about it.
I feel as though I think Will's right. Russia will essentially annex or pseudo annex the eastern Russian majority areas of Ukraine. But after that, I think it would struggle to go into Ukraine proper, because Ukraine's a big place. There's a lot of people in Ukraine. There's 40 million people in Ukraine. Population of Russia is only 140 million. So it's the size difference. Russia's not, it's only three times larger.
They do have a much bigger
military.
Yeah,
they do have a bigger military. But I feel like they'll possibly lose influence in the rest of Ukraine proper when they don't have the leverage of saying, or what about all this 15% Russian minority, which...
So why do they actually want past Ukraine?
I think they want to destabilise it and stop NATO or the EU moving in permanently.
Yeah, EU and NATO.
Because they want it permanently. They want all their... They want any threats around Russia reduced or mitigated so that they can't... So that's why they've historically wanted a weak Germany,
yeah,
so that they can't invade through Poland. And it's why they were so scared about having Jupiter nuclear missiles in Turkey in the Cold War. So it's historically tried to keep its neighbouring enemies quite weak, and its policy in Ukraine is part of that.
Also, Putin, I think, would not be happy if everyone in Ukraine is super happy and with democracy.
Yes.
You know, it sets a bad example.
Yeah,
I mean, all good. It's just a good example, which is bad for Putin.
Putin, this is kind of off topic, it's not happening next year, but the next Russian election, can Putin not run in that or something?
Yeah, they think
2024 is the next one.
2022, I think it might be.
Well, I'll quick Google,
yeah, check.
It's 2024.
The consensus is he might retire, so we won't be looking out for so this year we might want to look out for a successor. He's grooming up.
His daughter was on Russian television for the first time ever.
Really?
For the first time ever, she was on Russian television, acknowledged, or one of his daughters. So that's a thing. We should be looking at that in the future if she's being pushed more into the mainstream of Russian politics and media as a possible person so Putin can retire, but he can still influence things through his daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the thing with Putin retiring is he's still going to be in control, or he wants to be, because I think when you're in sort of such an authoritarian state, losing control after being at the top is a very quick way to get yourself
exactly. It's happened time and time again.
Yeah. So I think he might retire officially, but I think he's absolutely going to be in control behind the scenes still, as much as he is now. And I've just been looking at the figures for the armed forces between Ukraine and Russia, and the Russia military expenditure is 20 times larger. So I think in terms of military, Ukraine wouldn't stand a chance if it wasn't for the geopolitical situation.
But just on a completely unrelated note, doesn't Vladimir Putin look a bit like Dr. Phil? Just without a beard.
It's not, no.
He does, he looks similar.
No, but just bald white men.
There are plenty of those.
I have a good segue into my next point. Keeping with Eastern Europe and dictatorships, what do people think is going to happen in Hungary? People know what's happening in Hungary.
Protests.
Protests. Corruption.
Turning into a dictatorship.
Stupidity.
Slavery laws. Bad things.
Anti-George Soros.
Anti-George Soros, who I quite like.
Well, I mean, I like him because no one else likes him.
I mean, I like him. He's like, gives away lots of money. You know, he promoted democracy. He helped stop communism. What a... You know, he's all quite good things. Because
everyone who's against communism is a great guy.
Fortunate Son starts playing. Yeah, Hungary. Scary. I don't want dictatorships in my perfect, idealised version of the EU I hold in my head.
What the Hungary actually, like, if there was a dictatorship, obviously
it essentially is.
It's the most corrupt country in Europe or something.
It's becoming an illiberal democracy, so it's still technically democratic, but it is very repressive.
I mean, there is also Russia and Moldova and Russia's Transnistria.
Not in the EU, though.
No, you said in Europe.
I wouldn't say Russia's in Europe. Like, it is, but it's not.
I mean, I would class Russia as a European power if you're talking about Eastern Europe. It's just there.
No, but it's in Europe, though.
Yes, yeah.
Like, should we not get bogged down in the technicalities of Russian geography? So, yeah, but Russia and Moldova is an old thing. That's not particularly new. In Hungary, though, Hungary's got strengthening ties with China, so it could veto the EU from moving against China time and time again. So we could see China become more influential in Europe.
But then there's only so far Hungary can go before it breaches enough EU laws.
No, it's breached a lot of EU laws, but it's got this...
They're still providing it with subsidies, which is concerning.
Yeah, it's got getting subsidies, and it's got a deal on with Poland. It's sort of like a mutual defence deal in the EU. So if Poland happens to break a lot of climate laws constantly by burning things, not saying that Poland would ever do that...
Sorry.
then Hungary will just veto the things on it.
It's called the Visegrad Group?
I believe it is.
So you've got Poland, Hungary, Czech Republic and Slovakia.
But it's mainly Poland and Hungary the ones...
But they all work together to protect their own interests.
Czech, Slovakia and whatever. They're all not... They're less evil at the moment.
Okay, so...
That was all very depressing.
Yeah, I want Hungary to be less of a dictatorship in the next year. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, they have almost no... their laws are so illiberal at this point that there's no... I don't think within the current framework they can... They can't vote themselves out of this situation, I don't think. I think other influences would have to come into play.
Don't have anything happier to talk about?
Yes.
Lego movie.
No. I was going to talk about sort of space travel. I think I'm just going to lump everything into one category of sort of technology. So there's space travel. So there's Virgin Galactic, who just did their space travel thing where they went to space. Or did they go to space?
They broke the 80 kilometers mark.
Okay,
you took three sentences to say Virgin Galactic went near space.
Shut up. And also self-driving cars. I want to see where that goes because people are really bad at driving and I'd like to not see that anymore.
This is because Max drives us around everywhere. Whenever we're recording for this podcast, it's always Max driving. So, you know, he just wants to free up a job for himself so he can relax.
You make a good point. You've got new firms... pushing to put satellites in space at low cost, spread 5G further places.
Might have to replace the ISS soon as well, which I think will, depending on what they decide to use it for and whether they do decide to renew it, because what was it, Congress, I think today or yesterday, just passed a bill that allowed there to be multiple rocket launches.
Yeah, so and there's a new firm that is prototyping a new Concorde, So they're going to use new materials, new techniques, which have been discovered in the 30 or so years since Concorde was first pioneered, to develop a new super and subsonic airplane.
I am. This is one of the things I am most excited for the current and like the future is, like, incredible companies doing incredible things in with technology, competing against each other to provide the best, and whilst they're doing this, pushing forwards like everything that's available to humanity. So like, there's essentially a space race going on between companies, which is incredible because it means it won't, we don't need governments to force things to happen. They'll happen organically, probably more efficiently, better. I like this. This is good capitalism.
I'm going to get triggered at that and say I think it's probably, yeah, great, good short-term profit incentives, great, they want to get into space, but I think space exploration is something that, when it's motivated by profit, is inherently dangerous, I think, and should much more be regulated.
Whose space program did better? The United States, which was a lot motivated by profit, or the Soviet Union's.
The
which
Soviet
is
Union
entirely
got first.
Soviet,
okay.
Yeah.
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 Soviet Union.
No, that is true.
Did
then,
better in the space
then
race.
Did the Soviet planes come down first? Is the Soviet space station still in the sky?
Well, they, the Soviets put the first man in space, put the first woman in space.
Did the first orbit, didn't they?
Did the first orbit. Did
yeah.
the first spacewalk.
Satellite, I think.
First satellite. First, I think it was the first mission to the moon.
Yeah, the orbit of the
moon.
They
yeah.
No, they, no, Americans got the first orbit.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Russians did literally everything except land on the
no,
moon.
No, the Americans caught up and overtook
and
in 1968.
Like, this is a win for us.
I mean, it is
that's
a, bit,
US
of, it is a bit of a W.
And I mean, they had the first space station, they had a whole thing. Well, I don't know if it was the first, but
it was the first. But then it collapsed because the Soviet Union
collapsed. Yes.
Because short term profit incentive beat state provision and state intervention.
I'm not going to have an argument on
this
podcast
not,
about the USSR.
Not,
but if you want to find out more about what we think about space, then you can go to episode, I think it's episode 8 or episode 9, where we talk about space exploration. If you want to find out more about what we think about technology and the new technological revolution, you can go to episode 4 and listen to that. Both are really good episodes. Both have some great discussions about technology and space and the future for those.
Well, that you remembered those part. Episodes names.
Yeah, geez.
Well, I've had to go through and renumber them and put episode 1, episode 2 in front of them. It's
but
just...
also, the first mission to the moon, or vicinity of the moon, was done by the USSR in 1959.
Did it orbit
but the
moon?
First manned orbit of the moon and unmanned orbit of the moon were American.
Yeah, thank
what
you.
What this seems like is that it's two people having competitions at a bunch of different like Wii games, or like Wii Sports Resort, and then... One person, I keep beating Max at all of the games on Wii Sport Resort, and then Max beats
you couldn't
like,
beat me
at
Wii Sport Resort.
Thing.
That is my jam.
And then he's like, "Okay, that's it. I won."
No. What's the hardest, most complex game on Wii Sport?
The best
Resort?
One is Swordplay.
Swordplay is.
Yeah, so
I
that is.
Be, you wouldn't.
Anyway, so moving on. So let's come back down to Earth. Pun very much intended. Okay, so talk about some good stuff. Stuff to be thinking about, stuff to be interested in over the next year. I want to bring up something a bit more niche that I personally am quite interested in. And these are the Argentinian elections on the 27th of October. Because these are a big deal for Argentina. It's not necessarily relevant to us or to the West Shore. But for Argentina, which is one of the most powerful countries in the world at the end of the 18th, no, at the end of the 19th century. And is now punching far below its weight. It's been ruined by economic reforms, devastated by a corrupt family called the Kirchners, who effectively destroyed the economy. And in 2015, the president, Mauricio Macri, got into power and he has tried to reform the economy. He's done some good stuff, but unfortunately the impact has been bad. And so what I'm hoping is that he's re-elected as the incumbent because he's up against the woman who previously destroyed the economy. Christine Kirchner, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. So I'm quite interested in that, because if Argentina becomes a big power again, they might be able to counter Brazil under Bolsonaro, who is an idiot, be able to keep things stable in Latin America, and maybe bring a little bit more to the more South American representation to the big table. Yeah, they're one of the richest countries in the world and they've fallen quite hard. And so it would be good if the right guy is re-elected.
I agree with Theo on this, having just Wikipedia both of them. The woman that Theo is scared about looks really weird. Like, her face just looks weird.
So she should be elected because she's ugly.
No,
that's very sexist of you.
No, tell me that's not a normal face.
Oh no, she is an alien wearing human skin.
That is,
that's just weird.
That robot. Neck is, she's a lizard. She's a lizard lady.
I'm scared. So yes, I don't know anything about Argentina or the elections or anything.
Finally admitted it.
So I'm gonna take what Theo says on face value. Yes, Theo, I agree.
I'm also going to agree with Theo, which is an unusual event, but I think from what I've heard, non-corrupt sounds better than corrupt. So
but the woman is left-wing socialism, or populism.
And he's centre-right republicanism.
But if it's...
Oh,
is this the left-wing socialism in the Brazilian kind of way? How do you know, you feel familiar with the Brazilian
Lula,
situation?
Yeah.
Where it's just unbelievably corrupt, so it's kind of irrelevant.
But also better than... The right.
Better than the right, yes, but also unbelievably corrupt.
What has
that was quite a smooth save, Will. You're good.
What has the Brazilian right wing president done so far?
He's not in power yet.
That's why we haven't heard
anything. I hadn't heard anything that bad.
It's an American style democracy, so he's in charge in January at some point.
That's so stupid.
I don't really know anything about it, but is Argentina part of the West?
It's part of the G20, I think.
Okay.
So it's kind of part of the industrialised nations.
But I swear Argentina didn't industrialise. Isn't that one of the reasons why they're...
It industrialised early. Mm. Very early. Like, it was one... I've got notes. So in 1900, it was one of the biggest economies in the world. So it had over twice the income, per capita income of Japan and Italy, whereas now it's only... per capita income is under half Japan's, and Japan obviously has a huge population, so that's quite
hard
to
fall. Interesting about Argentina is out of like the Latin American countries, it's almost entirely populated by European immigrants, so there's almost no native population in Argentina, or it's the most non-native, so almost everyone who moved to Argentina were fairly rich Europeans who brought with
Nazis.
Them all their stuff. which was one of the reasons why it had like that high per capita income, because they killed all the natives and they weren't many at the less there to begin with.
Because it's Patagonia, which is really deserted. Yeah, so maybe you're not familiar so much with Argentina beyond listening here in the UK, beyond the Falklands War, but it is quite important that it's run well as a country because it's got a lot of potential, a lot of goodness it could do for Latin America.
So long as they stop saying they want the Falklands. And that we don't have a situation where all the Nazis go to Argentina.
Jeremy Clarkson, is that you?
The Falklands should in no way belong to Argentina. Like, I'm not some kind of right-wing nationalist.
So, you're no reform people, you're anti-bin men, you're anti the Japanese, and now you're pro-Falklands sovereignty.
Okay, so the Falklands, first of all, it was the Spanish who went there first, claimed it. We then went there, claimed it. Then something happened, it came to us.
No, if you look at the history of the Falklands, it is legitimately Argentinian.
No, it is nowhere near Argentina. No, the only reason they wanted the Falklands is because that dictator came to power. He was like, everyone is very unhappy. Let's invade the Falklands.
Have you watched the oversimplified video about the Falklands?
And other ones.
No, because I'm not just going to do a big stick diplomacy here, but I have read The Falklands War by... I've forgotten his name.
Well, I've read Harry Potter, doesn't make me
But what is the name of the historian? Max Hastings. But the Falklands War by Max Hastings, he goes through the history of the Falkland Islands comprehensively, and there's quite a period of time where we just abandon the island and say, we're not fun. And then the Argentinians settle there, and then we return and kick
we did
out.
That, but they voted to be British.
Oh, yes.
And, I mean, that is one of those things of you can't really go against what the population wants in that situation, I think.
Yeah,
as much as
exit
is unfair previously.
We're all quietly happy that the Falklands...
We had a plaque when the Argentinians settled there saying this does actually belong...
Again, you've also watched Oversimplified.
No, I haven't actually.
Who is not the most trustworthy...
I haven't watched Oversimplified.
Good to get a general
also,
overview.
Also, Argentina gave away... They renounced their claim on the area.
They did.
In a war against them when we blockaded all their forts. And they stopped claiming them for like 30 years until they ran into some economic troubles and like
and also they can't claim them now because we've almost certainly always got a nuclear submarine in the area.
Good.
Have you seen the Oversimplified Emu War one?
I have, yeah. I do like Oversimplified.
Yeah, it's a good channel.
But just also, just to gain some face back, that's not the only video I've watched on the topic. I have watched multiple documentaries on it.
So you're a Falkland War obsessive?
You're not an obsessive. I just think that the Argentinians are wrong.
But we hope you do really well in your elections, Argentina. I mean,
no one from Argentina listens, so
yeah, that's
doesn't
a
matter if I start have saying we already,
have we just
things?
Scuppered our chances of going big in Argentina. We were the next big thing there, and we've just blown
I'm sorry
it.
Guys, I'm sorry.
Okay,
well, the one thing I'd like to bring up, because I didn't, everyone stole all the good points, so I'm bringing up something that's nebulous and not massively 2019, so very me. It's climate change, because if we see all the events this year in terms of forest fires in California in as late as November.
But the forest fires is all a conspiracy by the train companies. And because if you look at a map of where all the forest fires were and a map of where a proposed railroad was, is that even English? Wherever that was, basically, they wanted to build train tracks in that place, but they couldn't because people have houses there. What happens a few months later? It all burns down. All these houses burn down. They buy the land for cheap. Railway. It's all a conspiracy.
Okay, we've solved it. Doesn't matter. Global warming.
Global warming isn't real.
I'm really glad you're on this podcast. You know what? You might not contribute anything of value, but you make my Friday evening a little bit happier.
So yeah, I think that's... And apparently next year there's an 80% possibility of another El Nino event, so it gets even hotter.
What's that?
It's basically something very complicated weathery, but basically...
Weird weather.
Yeah, it's...
Isn't it meant to be one every 14 years or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, and the last one ended in 2016, and there's a possibility, quite a high possibility of one starting again next year. And it's to do with like a sort of a reduction of the Gulf Stream, I think, in some way, so...
It just messes up the weather. It's why everyone died in that winter, and it kills everyone, causes hurricanes.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to see more big hurricanes, cities
well,
like...
I mean, we might not.
Well, I hope we don't. The day when we see hurricanes is a pretty bad day for
it's like it would like be the whole snow thing, but like times 10. You know, we're not prepared for snow. So whenever snow happens, we're just... The whole country is out of action. If there's a hurricane, I think just the whole country will just explode.
Yeah.
never had one.
From sheer, like, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if we have serious weather in this country, we are crippled because we are not prepared.
But you're right, climate change, there was a report released in October, November, which said, frankly, guys, you're screwed because there's no way we can achieve the 1.5 degree cap by 2050. It's not happening. And we just and we thought we might be able to do it, we thought we might have a chance, but it seems more and more likely now that whatever we do, the world is going to become irreversibly damaged.
And that's why we need to go to space.
Future people, though.
Well, it's become... It's
a problem for future us.
It's a problem for this year to sort out. We need to get some stuff done soon. Do you know what the single biggest contributor to carbon emissions in the world is?
No.
Is it container ships?
No.
Is it cows?
No.
It's, I don't know.
Very ironically... is air conditioning units.
No way is it. It's definitely...
Really?
Think how many countries are between the tropics of Capricorn and Cancer. Think how many people in those countries are each going to have an air conditioning unit. Think how many air conditioning units will need to be in each office, public transport, okay, every walkway, every inside thing needs air conditioning.
Yeah, but lots of those are too poor.
No. If you live in India, no matter how poor you are, you have air... Unless you're destitute, you have air conditioning.
Fair enough. I still think you're lying.
No, this is the economist fact, okay? This
is all the economist is very biased.
Okay, so if you look at the US, so this is... Bear in mind, this is the US, and the US, the vast majority of... Well, I don't know how much of it does need air conditioning. I'm not really familiar with the climate. I know
only really the
south.
The north,
but there's a lot of people in the
southern
states.
All closed places
do there.
Basically everywhere in America.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Except the very north.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Well, they have... What's the reverse of air conditioning? No, isn't air conditioning just hot?
Heating? The reverse of air conditioning. Heating.
Yeah, well, they'll have heating if they don't have air conditioning. Like, lots of places that...
Yeah, but air conditioning, because you don't have the heating on all day unless you're in a workplace. Air conditioning uses a huge amount of electricity... per hour, and it's on 24 hours.
Okay, so air conditioner shipments in the US from 2001 to 2017 are between 3 and 6.5 million per year. So I think it's safe to say that there are a reasonable amount, but it's not as if there is one for every person.
No, but you're looking at places like Indonesia, South China, Vietnam, densely populated, highly populated. Everyone has at least one air conditioning unit, in that plus workplace, plus public transport. Yeah.
I reckon we just believe Theo on this one.
Yeah, no, it's definitely container ships.
No, it's air conditioning units.
No.
The Economist did an entire report on this about 6 months ago.
Well, okay, let's move on. Peter, anything else you're excited for apart from the Lego movie?
This is my one thing, my one bright spot. Let's be honest, I haven't discussed a lot of positive things here.
Local elections, Conservatives could be kicked up the arse.
Oh yeah,
they probably will. I reckon Lib Dem's gonna come Lib back with Lib Dem super majority.
Do it for Clegg.
So you've got local elections 2nd of May, so about a month and a bit after Brexit. People are not going to be happy with the Conservative Party. They're probably going to get wiped out.
Are people ever happy with the Conservative Party?
But then
Party,
people though, aren't happy with Labour either in many, many places.
No, but you can distinct... But Labour... Generally, local elections are distinct enough that you can look past national problems.
Yeah.
But Brexit is so big, you can't necessarily look past Conservative councillors and Brexit. Maybe. I'm not sure. We will all be able to vote.
Oh, God.
Vote, yeah. So... A reminder to anyone listening at home, if you are 17, you can vote in local elections.
Can you?
Yes.
I did not actually know that.
I didn't know that.
So much for, well, poorly informed it is, I suppose.
Because Manning voted in his last year. May? March? Oh no, I was at the count. It was very exciting.
I missed out the vote.
What about other legislation that's going to be coming in the next year in British politics unrelated to Brexit?
They were drafting quite an interesting deal, which I have subsequently forgotten.
Oh,
on waste. Recycling is now going to be simplified and go nationwide.
Uber.
Which is positive. That's good news.
Uber has to pay people a minimum wage now and give them sick days.
Yes.
That's also positive. Good.
Uber gets stuffed.
Two positive things, Max. Keep up the trend.
Trump made... Oh, what a government. Trump vows what we're reading, Theo.
He's not getting his border wall.
Trump's not getting a border wall. Wow, I said that without moving my lips. on the topic of Trump, impeachment, potential impeachment, something to do with the Senate, Democrats, House Representative, someone's going to say something.
He can't be impeached because the Senate won't let it. I think he needs 2/3 of the Senate to be
impeached. But good news is that the Congress, while it doesn't have the powers of the Senate, will be able to reveal taxes. Taxes, Trump returns. They will be able to do a lot of damage when they come into power in January. I'm looking forward personally to
13 days.
It's soon. So you've got people who made a media splash already, like Ocasio-Cortez from New York. You've got the activist Democrats who really want to make a difference.
I think it's going to be interesting because it looks like this whole house of cards has been actually pretty well prepared in order for one thing to be whipped away and it all come crashing down. Because if you look at what Mueller's doing, I think he has a pretty good idea of what has gone on and he probably already knows the results, but he's setting it out on a timescale that makes it sort of have maximum impact and sort of traps everyone into sort of admitting guilt in many ways. So it's going to be... a very entertaining year for that, at least. And that's one of the few good things, I suppose, we can point to in international politics at the moment.
Might as well summarise.
Do people like peaches? Just
peaches?
Yes, I like a good...
Yes.
Yeah.
I quite like peaches. I was just wondering, because I don't know, some people don't. And
maybe not fruit.
Do you
really
think
good
of things to go at the start of the podcast?
Look,
or
so we're talking about
you...
peaches. We're talking about impeachment. And I was like... Because... I don't know, I think it's an underrated truth. You don't see people just eat peaches, really, do you?
You don't just see people eat apples.
That's what I'm looking forward to
in
the next year, eating more peaches.
It's because they're sort of... Because when you bite into them, they're a bit like a tomato, in the fact that it kind of goes everywhere and it's sticky.
There's a technique.
Oh, something else I'm interested in. Saudi Arabia is...
Bad.
It is bad. Is it going to get even more bad over the next year, and are we going to be like, we don't like you anymore, or are we going to continue selling them weapons even
we
though
are
they
going
cut
to
a man
continue
up while he was still alive?
I disagree.
We are going to continue selling
them weapons.
We seem
to be applying a little more covert pressure to Saudi Arabia. Didn't it recently commit to stop some... Yeah, the US recently committed to stop backing the Saudi Arabia-led coalition in Yemen, which is good news. And if we can follow suit on that, that would apply a fair amount of pressure. Because that says we no longer recognise your international legitimacy.
I thought it was America was passed some law that meant they couldn't criticise Saudi Arabia over Yemen or something. Wasn't that...
Something like they can't criticise Israel. That might have been a weird
That's a separate event where they were tying things up with other laws where that was kind of introduced in certain states where they sort of banned boycotts.
And I think you know Mohammed bin Salman.
Yes,
NBA. And everyone. Oh, he's the crown prince of Saudi Arabia.
I didn't know his name.
He's like,
the de facto ruler.
He was sort of built up this image of being like a reformer, modernized prince, a leader, would bring Saudi Arabia forward. He let women drive.
Opened the first cinema.
Yeah. Also, executions have I think over doubled under his.
Yeah.
And also the amount of accidental deaths of journalists increased a lot.
Didn't they? And Saudi Arabia's international reputation has been damaged when Saudi covert officials went into the embassy in Istanbul and murdered Jamal Khashoggi with a bone saw.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier.
So,
which there are allegedly are recordings of.
There are recordings.
Yeah, they sent. It's like the Turkish government have so much information on it, and they're just releasing it bit by bit. And it's funny if it wasn't a man getting cut up while he's still alive, you know.
But yeah, obviously our respect to Mr. Khashoggi's fiance and his family, and we hope that we can find some justice.
And actually, to segue into a slightly also depressing topic, is the number of journalists killed as well is also on the up. So, Theo...
I was looking at reports of Sans Frontières, Reports Without Borders, the other day, and yes, there's a lot of dead journalists in the past year.
Yeah, and that's not a good sign. That's a trend I think we want to be reversing.
And the problem is I want to go to the places where they're in the habit of killing journalists. Well, so, summarise. So, Will, what are you going to be following this year?
Okay, this year, mainly, well, I'm trying to follow a bit of everything. I think there's lots of important things going on, and probably the main one that's going to unfortunately occupy most of my time is Brexit, given the fact I do live in the United Kingdom. So, not a particularly cheerful look forward, but there it is.
Peter?
Probably same. I'm definitely leaving this less happy than when I came in, thanks to that, guys. But probably focusing on the EU, Brexit, Hungary, Russia, the collapse of government, slow heat death of the universe.
Wonderful. I'm going to be keeping an eye on the Argentinian elections, but they're 10 months away, so I'm also going to be closely following the Congress as it reconvenes for the new year. And Max?
Well, because I'm a happy guy, as opposed to all these depressing people, technology and how technology is going to advance. I'm going to go to space, because space is cool.
Well, that's our look ahead to 2019 from all of us at Poorly Informed. We wish you a very happy new year, We wish you a great new year, and we will see you in January.
We will indeed.
Well, we're not going to see them. Hear, but if you're doing someone else.
Could do Daredevil.
Do you ever think that English language needs new words?
Yes.
I mean, we have a habit of inventing them. I mean, Google is now a word.
Bye! This is the news that flights at Gatwick have just been suspended again. So, yeah.
Am I making it up, or did this happen in Canada the other day as well? Because I swear I heard something about this happening in Canada, like, last week, and it happened again now. Or it might have been a dream, and I might be clairvoyant.
You're clairvoyant for the future, but in Canada.
So I got the continent wrong, but you got everything else right.
I dream that things happen in Canada, and then they happen here.